You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, I pray that you would now draw reluctant hearts and give doubting souls courage to believe. For Jesus' sake, amen. I begin our reflection this morning on our gospel text from Matthew with a confession, and I will say that I'm embarrassed to admit this to you, but first let me say a few things. And the first is to say, I believe it all. The resurrection, that an angel descended from heaven, that a great earthquake shook the earth, that the stone was rolled away, and that the angel sat upon the stone. I believe that the floundering disciples were transformed from their unbelief and from their fear by the actual appearance of the risen Lord, that in fact he was risen, that they saw the mark of the nails in his hands and the imprint of the nails in his feet. I believe it all, but this is where I am embarrassed and this is where I struggle, and that is in the application, the words of the angel, the words of Jesus to the Marys, do not be afraid. I have no difficulty believing in the resurrection. What I struggle with is a hard time believing that message given from God to us. Do not be afraid. Is that possible? Is it possible for us not to be afraid? And I confess, one of the songs that's been going through my head, of course, is Welcome, Happy Morning. And I know this is tragically off-season, but a little town of Bethlehem. And so hopefully I haven't placed that in your mind. And let me explain why. If you remember, there's that great line in O Little Town of Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And what I hold out to us this morning, this Easter Sunday, is the hopes and fears of all of us are met in Jesus. And perhaps you have a few with you today, hopes and fears, and you are hoping to hear a good word spoken to them. This is a good and right longing that you would hear a good word spoken to those hopes and fears. And part of my fear is delivering a good word to you this morning. So we all have our hopes and fears. I thought that was tremendously funny, and it's flopped every time. But I want you to know I'm not a quitter. So, and that's it for the day. Well, Easter morning begins in fear and disbelief. We find that they are afraid, that they are bewildered. And though it begins with fear and disbelief, we see that it will end with hope. And I ask the question, what does fear look like across the biblical witness? Right before this portion that we read in Matthew's gospel that the fear of the chief priests and the Pharisees is that Jesus' followers would come and they would steal his body away, and that people would believe his promise that he would be raised on the third day. And in response to this fear, they set a guard at the tomb. And of course, what we will see and what we know is that all the armies in the world cannot stop the redemptive purposes of God in Jesus Christ. That is the fear of the chief priests, and it's the fear of the Pharisees. As you read through the accounts of the resurrection and the Gospels, you see the myriad fears of Jesus' friends and followers. In John's Gospel, we hear that they are gathered together behind locked doors for fear that what happened to Jesus would happen to them. And very likely as well, part of the fear that is realized in John's Gospel is that they will now have to live the rest of their lives with the realization of their failure, with the realization of their betrayal of Jesus. Their fear is that that would be a final word, and of course we know otherwise. In Mark's Gospel, we hear in Matthew's Gospel, we hear that it's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and I always thought that's so tremendously unfortunate. It reminds me when my girls were young, one of them had two baby dolls, and the names that were given to them were Baby and Other Baby. And so we hear about Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, but in Mark's account, Mark names her as Mary, the mother of James. But what we see in that account in Mark's gospel is that fear and trembling seize them, and they run from the tomb and tell no one what they had seen. And perhaps you remember the plaintive words in Luke's gospel on the road to Emmaus as they are walking along before they realize that it is Jesus with them. And they say those plaintive words, but we had hoped, but we had hoped. And this morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, we see that what their fear today looks like in large part is a lot like sadness and uncertainty. They had been there when Jesus was laid in the tomb, and now they are sad and they are uncertain of what to do next, and so they decide to go to the tomb. They're experiencing the one who had filled them with more life and joy and hope that they ever dreamed imaginable had been ripped violently from them, and now they find themselves in this place of fear, in this place of confusion, this place of sadness and disbelief. And as they make their way to the tomb, as they go, perhaps the great dread that they feel is a return of the feeling that the circumstances of our lives, the circumstances of struggles and pain and weariness, will not change. They will never change. They can never change. And what about us? What about you and me? What do some of those fears in our lives look like? And I share three brief stories from three friends of mine. And the first was someone whom I knew and loved for years. And at this point, she was well into her 60s. And we were visiting one day, and I don't know how the conversation landed here. And perhaps it often does. It ends up at the rub. But one of the things she began to share is that she wished her mother had loved her the way that her aunt did. Her aunt always loved her, but with her mother, she always felt like she wasn't enough. She always felt like her mother wanted to be something or someone different than who she was. Another friend, a brief teammate and classmate of mine at the Citadel, we were there early for preseason training, what normal colleges call freshman orientation. It has a different name and connotation at the Citadel. And we were there with our shaved heads and all of our possessions taken away and cut off from the world. And my friend was miserable, which I will say is an entirely healthy response to that condition and that situation. I was miserable. But what made it worse for him was the additional burden and expectation. He didn't want to be there. Of course, none of us wanted to be there, but he really didn't want to be there. His dad had made him go. His grandfathers had gone, his father had gone, and now it was time for him to go as well. And he was living with the fear. He was afraid to disappoint his father. And the last friend of mine, a dear friend and a source of light and grace and encouragement in my life and in the lives of many other, one to whom I often turn, but he revealed recently something in his medicine cabinet that he turns to that is necessitated in his life because of the fear in his life. And it's not what you might think. It's not a pill, but what it is, it's a mouth guard. Again, he's so gracious and so wonderful, but he found that when he would go to sleep, he was grinding his teeth so violently that he was damaging his teeth. And so he went to the dentist and they gave him a mouth guard to sleep in. That's what it looked like for him. And those things may see in some ways trivial in light of the sufferings and the challenges of the human condition and the things to be afraid of, but I would contend to you that they're not, that they are things that are elemental for all of us, fears that we can relate to. Everyone deals with the fear that perhaps they are not really loved and that they're not actually enough. Or perhaps you deal with the fear of disappointing those you love, of letting them down in some way or another. Or like my friend, you fear everything, trying to hold it all together, trying to keep all the balls in the air, all of the plates spinning, that if you don't keep it going, the world around you is going to come undone. Again, each of those is different and may seem small in some ways, but I think I believe that they speak to the challenge of the human condition. But today we remember that we don't have to keep everything going. The resurrection reveals to us the answer to these challenges of the human condition. Are we loved? Are we enough? We see that in Jesus, we see that in the mercy and the pursuit of God, that we are more loved and accepted than we could ever dare hope for. Do you have the fear of disappointing? Look at the way that Jesus came and gathered his followers. Those who forsook him, those who denied him, those who failed him, rather than telling them that they are not enough, that he is disappointed, he comes and he graciously gathers them and he restores them. Such is the nature and the heart and the character of God. And then finally, of trying to hold it all together, and the realization that we can't, and the good news comes to us today that we have a Savior. That role is occupied already. It's not up to you and to me to hold it all together. A final brief word here from my state of South Carolina. This is a letter from March 1992 delivered in Greenville, South Carolina, in the upstate. And the letter came from the Department of Social Services, and it was sent to a certain gentleman. And the letter said this: "Dear sir, your food stamps will be stopped effective immediately because we have received notice that you have passed away." That's where it begins, but it doesn't end there. It continues in a thoughtful way. "May God bless you." And then this is the winner right here, the last sentence of the letter: "You may reapply." "You may reapply if there is a change in your circumstance." We hear this Easter morning the profound and everlasting change in our circumstance. The words indeed are true, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that he is the once and for all sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the world. And the word goes forth to you and to me that we are loved, that we are gathered, that we do not need to be afraid. The words are not simply spoken to us. The words are revealed to us. And I pray that as you hear those words this day, do not be afraid, that you would hear them as what I believe they are, as a promise. And the certainty of the promise, the fulfillment of the promise, is based on the nature and the character of God who reveals himself to us in the resurrection. And that is full and final and ongoing saving work will be done. That our greatest enemy, death with a capital D, has been defeated. But not only that alone, but all the little deaths along the way are addressed as well. We hear that we are loved. We hear that we are saved. We hear that we are gathered, and that he will continue that good and redeeming work in our lives. And the certainty of that is his character made known to us in Jesus, his Son. I pray that you hear today that your circumstances have changed. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.